In this episode of The Ziegler Show, Ernest Hemingway, he's famously cited as saying, write drunk, edit sober. And amongst the writing community, it's an oft-quoted statement frequently depicted in film and story. Trouble is, he didn't say it. Well, in this episode, I'm back with one of my favorite all-time authors, Donald Miller, and we're talking about his habits. And one he shared was stopping the nightly beer. While he appreciates it, his best writing time is in the morning, and he feels the alcohol, even a little bit, slightly compromises his work. And that right there, I mean, that's the essence of good habits. When we have a reason big enough for us to make the healthier decision. I mean, if you're struggling to keep up a desired habit, obviously your motive isn't clear, isn't strong. Well, this is an interesting show though, as we talk about that. And Donald is just so open, honest, and introspective, which is why he's sold millions of his memoirs. And we cover vices and heroes on a mission and mindset and the benefit of not knowing any better. And him considering if he has an obsessive compulsive disorder in relation to tacos. It was a fun and just really insightful discussion. And on the note of habits, to help your habits, Don invited us all to visit heroonamission.com, where he provides a life plan and daily planner course, which is profound in helping with our habits. Welcome, everyone. I'm Kevin Miller, and I'm so privileged to host three podcasts that have now surpassed 50 million downloads. They're all for people who want to truly grow and change and find fulfillment and joy in their lives. This podcast is a Ziegler Show, where we focus on your professional development and succeeding in your career and business. And here I talk with people who have great professional success doing something they truly care about that serves others. Then every week I pose a professional or personal development question to the Ziegler audience, and Tom Ziegler and I come together to have a conversation around the responses. In my Motive podcast, we get to the root of our desires, our reasons, our motives fuel everything we do, yet we're generally unaware of them. In the latest episode, 20, I'm going to give you a massive paradigm shift by helping you take full responsibility for everything in your life simply by replacing one word you say, I do too, over and over all day long. That's robbing us of our personal power and fulfillment. It sounds kind of gimmicky, but I just don't do gimmicks. It's just real. In the True Life podcast, we address your health and wellness. You are the vehicle for all you do. And if your body and mind are compromised, so are all of your efforts. In the latest episode, 63, we talk about the powerful effect in all of our lives from the number one drug on planet Earth we have all been addicted to, food. You can find all three shows in Apple Podcasts. Just search for Kevin Miller or at my website, kevinmiller.co.
I'm a foodie, and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico, and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon, really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky, where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935. And I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste. And right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of 7 requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
Well, Don, as I mentioned, you're one of the few people I've had on the show for a second time and a second habits. Last time we talked about this, it was a show, and I forgot to put it was in the 400s. We're at 863 now, and habits. You know, November of 2017 is the last time we talked about them. I'm betting that since then you have adopted some new habits, maybe gotten rid of some old habits. So
that's true.
You know, if I pose that, that's a different way of coming at it. If I pose that, what would you say are some primary new habits, new revelations that you've had in the past 3 years in regards to daily habits and routines for your health and wellness and success?
Well, I can think of three immediately. One is I started exercising every day. And my schedule's so busy that if I'm writing a book, I often have to choose between exercise and writing. And so lately I've been writing a book and I've only exercised maybe half as much, but, you know, adding that and making that a priority, has been life changing for me. And usually what I do is I swim. And so there's also it's not even exercise, it's meditation. You know, so I'm certainly getting my heart up and it's great for my heart and health and all that kind of stuff. But to me, it's one of the rare times I can actually be alone and get my head straight. So that's one habit. The other habit that's been incredibly effective for me is getting up early. So, you know, I've always been somebody who gets up, you know, before 8, but it is not uncommon for me to be up at 4 and 5 a.m. In fact, this morning I was up before 3 a.m. because I needed to get some work done. That's very rare, but that just happened to be this morning. I'm so grateful, Kevin, that I married a younger woman. I got married when I was 42. She was 30. And I'm literally, we were in bed at 7:30 the other night. We had a laptop propped up and we were watching some Netflix show for about 30 minutes before we fell asleep. And I literally grabbed her by the hand and I said, "Baby, we found each other. I mean, there's nobody else who would enjoy this. It's just us." And, so that's another habit. Sleep has become very important. 8 to 9 hours. You know, just today I got 6, but, you know, 8 to 9 hours is really important. And then here's another one. You got me on a good topic here. It's a habit I gave up, and that's alcohol. Now, I haven't given it up, you know, religiously. I'll still have a beer every once in a while. But what I noticed was, it was affecting my sleep. I just wasn't getting as great a night of sleep if I had a beer or two. And when you're doing mind work and you're doing the mind work in the morning, you know, I finally had to say to myself, look, you know, you can have a beer or two and it relaxes you and it's great. The work that you're going to do tomorrow isn't going to be as good. And somebody's going to pick up your book and they're not going to have as great of an experience. And that's all I needed to hear. Yeah. And I was done. Occasionally, you know, it's Friday. I might have a beer tonight, but I guarantee you, I'll go to get that beer out of the fridge and say, you know, I probably could write in the morning. I'll put it back. So, you know, that's part of getting older. You know, you got to manage a body that's not as maybe as sharp as it used to be, but you leverage your wisdom and get more out of it anyway. But those are a few habits that have
those
changed
in the last 3 years. Interesting to hear because I adore my evening glass of wine or two, but same thing. If I was just
if I wrote in the afternoon, that'd be fine. But I tend to write in the morning.
And you're right, and it messes up. As a matter of fact, I've actually got on 2 devices. I don't know if I should be proud of that, but one of them is focus. One's, you know, kind of my performance and exercise stuff that I'm doing. The other one is sleep. And when I come off of alcohol, my resting heart rate goes down by about 10 beats per minute. So throughout the day. And that's significant.
So when you don't drink, your resting heart rate is lower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I can just, if I'm drinking and then if I go off, it'll just start to come down and it'll come down and plateau. And then if I have, you know, a weekend or it's the holidays or whatever, and I start doing it and my resting heart rate goes up. So my body's working, you know, working harder. And as you said too, yeah, man, my creative work, it's just, I don't know how people did that. I know they have the, you know, some of the old fiction writers, you know, who were drunks. I don't know how, I don't know,
you know, but I, you know, I don't think those guys were all that productive. I mean, you know, they may have lived that way for a little while, but, I don't think, you know, Hemingway couldn't write when he was drunk.
Yeah.
You know, and my guess is if he would have had a little bit less to drink, he would have been a better writer. Steinbeck was really, really disciplined about, his use of alcohol. And, you know, they say write drunk, edit sober. But I think if you write sober and edit sober, you get even better literature.
I tend to agree. Maybe if you're writing about dragons and fairy tales, they can get creative. I don't know, but it does not work for me. So that is one. Yeah, I've been paying attention to quite a bit, as well as the early mornings. You know, where do you fall nutritionally? Anything changed there as of late, or do you have a routine that you stick with there, do's and don'ts?
Yeah, I don't remember when I started this habit because it's been a very long time, but I bet you it's been about 3 years. I no longer eat breakfast. So I eat my first meal at noon. And, as I said earlier, I'm up early, so I'm usually at my desk writing at 7 a.m. I will write till about 10:30, and I don't miss food. I don't get hungry. I'm a little bit cranky, but I mean, when I eat, if I eat anything for breakfast, the words aren't as good. And the reason is the blood has gone to your stomach and it's no longer as much blood in your brain. I mean, it's just a physical reality. Yeah. What that also means is intermittent fasting. It means that I can have a bigger lunch and a bigger dinner and burn it off the next morning. And the other thing that my wife and I had a conversation about this literally today. It's funny that you bring it up, but I have a feeling that sugar for me is going to go the way of alcohol. I'm just noticing that a chocolate chip cookie puts me in a mental fog. That's my favorite. I love sugar. I love desserts. But I think that I haven't had any in the last few days and I've just gotten really great writing done. You know, you, after a while, you notice, you know, you don't eat a dessert, you get 2,000 words done the next day. You don't eat a dessert, the next day you eat a chocolate chip cookie, you get 300 bad words done. It's like, okay, wait, I don't think this is just coincidence. I think the sugar is knocking me out.
Yeah.
So what a blessing, though, you know, because obviously that's not healthy. And to love writing and love content creation so much that you'd be willing to give up arguably a vice.
Yeah.
It ultimately is a blessing. Thank God that he's given me some sort of reason to, you know, I'm 49 years old. My wife we're pregnant with our first child. Mm-hmm. So our baby girl is going to be born in June. And I'm sitting here going, you know, if I gave up sugar, she might have me another 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some reasons, you know, you're not going to live forever. Hey, you suddenly hit that age. So good habits are the key.
I got you. I just turned 50. And
you look a lot younger than me. I don't know how you're pulling it off.
I don't know.
You got armbands on each thing measuring your constant health. That's it.
But I appreciate what you said. You know, my dear friend and podcast host on one of my other shows, Dr. Randy James, he talks about the blessing of pain. Thank God that your body's telling you, man, I do not like that. Sugar is another one that I do. I do dark chocolate. That's just about it. Because it messes up my digestion and that messes up my sleep. And I'm a sleep Nazi. I cannot handle, I can't do my work. Cause as yours is, my work is 95% creative and man, I just can't do it without sleep. So whatever will guard my sleep, you know, you talk about writing, and you mentioned 3 hours or so, and I had on, Charles Martin. Do you know Charles, fiction writer?
No, I don't believe I do. Yeah.
He is my top fiction writer for redeeming stories. Can I say that? He is a Christian guy, but he doesn't write, he writes mainstream stuff and, he's got movies being made about the stuff, but it's a similar thing. You know, he gets up early and writes those long things. I talked to somebody recently who did the ascribe to the, hey, every day, you know, write this many words. It was kind of these little deposits. And this is just a curiosity amongst writers for me. I'm not able to do that. I've got to go down the rabbit hole. I can't do the little deposits yet. I know that works for some. You're amongst so many writers. Do you see that it's just different strokes for different folks, or you get better?
It really is.
Really?
Okay. It really is. Though I think there's a common denominator with the people like Stephen King, people like James Patterson. They tend to be up early writing first thing in the morning. I think Stephen Pressfield is probably that way. My guess is Annie Dillard and Ann Patchett, some of our glorious female writers here in America. We're producing the best female writers in the world in this country right now. They're all disciplined. Toni Morrison is that way, sitting there with her yellow pad doing everything longhand, which is just a miracle. Wow. I think Jerry Seinfeld, somewhere in his career, early in his career, was sitting outside a cafe skipping work and watched a guy cross the street with a hard hat on and showed up at a construction site and he got convicted and said, that needs to be me. Hmm. You know, I don't make buildings, but I make comedy and I need to show up every day. So, you know, I think there's a common denominator there. And I've certainly subscribed to that. So I try to get my writing done in the morning. The interesting thing is I run a company, but, If I don't get my writing done in the morning, I really can't be fully present in meetings and podcast interviews. But this morning I got, you know, I had a great day. 2,000 words is a great morning, fairly rare. And so the whole rest of the day I'm carefree and walking the dogs and having great conversations and being present in the moment. But I guarantee you, if it would have been a dud of a morning and I'd had a glass of whiskey last night before bed, I'd be going, Kevin, I don't have a lot of time here.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. You know, you mentioned vices, and that's always an interesting one to me because I got to have them. I'm cranky if I don't have vices, but I've learned to upgrade my vices. So instead of the, you know, slice or two of cheesecake, it's a handful of dark chocolate covered almonds or something like that. The lesser of evils. So, what are some vices that you still hold?
Well,
on
I'm
to?
Switching. I haven't had ice cream in a long time. Mm. I switched to yogurt and, a little granola and a handful of raisins, and that does it.
Yeah.
For me, those are vices. Now, here's a weird thing to confess. Everybody listening to your podcast is going to think I'm really weird.
Okay.
I eat Mexican food almost every day. I absolutely love it. I go to a Mexican restaurant, every weekday, you know, Mexican restaurant near the office, and I'll get a couple enchiladas, a big thing of guacamole, a taco, and some rice and beans. And one of the reasons is there's no gluten. Mm-hmm. I try to eat a whole avocado every day. The rice and beans are some of the most healthy things you can possibly eat. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that eating at a Mexican restaurant is healthy. But I would consider that a compromise in terms of a vice. It is comfort food without a lot of bread, without a lot of sugar, way too much fat. And some good healthy fat in there too. That's been an interesting routine, so much so that my wife and I actually wondered whether I have some sort of single obsessive compulsive disorder around tacos. I'm not exactly sure.
It's an interesting, you know, I think that we are as humans driven by our appetites, and I see people trying to stop that. And I think I don't see success with stopping the appetites, but we can elevate them.
That's a great way to say it. I like that better than even replace.
Okay.
Because definitely a little bowl of yogurt is an elevation on a donut microwaved with a scoop of ice cream on top.
I appreciate it when my indulgence is something that a lot of people would say that's their healthy food.
There you go.
So I feel good. I feel good about myself with that one. You are listening to The Ziegler Show in this Habits episode with Donald Miller. Next, I ask Don what his most challenging healthy habits are, and he readily divulges them. Here are some great resources, then we'll jump right back into it with Donald Miller. Most of today, you will be indoors, likely your home or your office. I am as well. Even with my treks out into the woods, I spend a lot of time inside. And we're going to take about 20,000 breaths. According to the EPA, the indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted. At my studio, we have heat being forced through old ducts. I walk on carpet full of years of junk. No idea what's floating in the air that I'm taking constant gulps of. The solution is an air purifier, and Air Doctor is just the best. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold, bacteria, viruses. They do it so your lungs don't have to. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Go to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Kevin, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So to get this special offer, go to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code Kevin. AirDoctorPro.com, promo code Kevin.
Friends, I'm pretty candid about my lack of financial prowess. Money and numbers are fairly Greek to me, so I need a lot of guidance. One of my closest friends is a wildly successful wealth manager, and I'm working on some financial literacy and just continually seeking guidance. So I ask you to check out yahoofinance.com. Nobody knows it all, and Yahoo Finance is an incredible resource for the rookies like me or the seasoned investors. You know, before my dad passed away recently, Dave Ramsey and his wife Sharon flew down to visit. We all got to spend a day together, and I was at yahoofinance.com just now. I saw multiple news flashes from Dave and other people that you respect, and they're hitting so many of the hottest areas in finance today. So it's a place to get a snapshot of all aspects of your financial interests, and if you have them, your portfolios. I hadn't realized Yahoo Finance is the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. So for your comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. One more time. yahoofinance.com.
Thankfully, the days of building a business website, then having this massive endeavor to integrate an online store are gone. Today, Shopify has fixed all that. I had one business where we actually built the entire website on Shopify's platform. So whether you're just starting out or you're selling $1 million of product already, Shopify is just the industry leader. It works the same for physical products or online and digital, and Shopify is just hands down the best out there. Most importantly, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Getting people to buy is not that hard, at least to the buying point, but getting them to actually give their payment info is, and Shopify is king in that department. They also have top-tier customer service, which I think is critical. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kevin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kevin to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Kevin.
You know, when you look at just the healthy habits and routines that you would want for yourself, what are the ones that you would say, man, this is the one that's most challenging, whether it's, you know, food or exercise or spiritual or relational? Where do you say, man, that's the one that I have to give the most focused, the most affirmative action to, or I fail at the most, either way?
Yeah, well, they're both the same. The two things that I fail at the most are the things that I need to work on the most and will. One is meditation. I do have a morning ritual where I read my life plan. And my life plan consists of my obituary, my 10-year, 5-year, 1-year plan, my goal-setting worksheet, and then I fill out a day planner page. All of those things I actually created for myself. There's a course I have called Hero on a Mission, and I teach that to other people. I just released that a couple months ago. But that's a very centering exercise for me. I do it 3 to 5 times a week. But I think I do it a little too quickly, and I'd like for that to become a more reflective, meditative experience. The other thing for me, Kevin, has always been food. You know, I'm at 215 right now. I should probably weigh 190. I'm 6 foot tall. I used to weigh 387 pounds. That was the highest I've ever weighed.
Wow.
So I have had either a psychological addiction to binge eating. That to me is now unrecognizable because it's not there anymore. But at the same time, you know, food feels still, even though I've lost all that weight, food still feels like some sort of thing I have to manage, where if I look at my wife's life, she's not managing food. She gets hungry. She's out of energy. She figures out what's in the fridge. And I'm like, you know, I can tell you what I'm going to eat for the next 7 meals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's, to me, that's something that I really believe. Well, first of all, it's 90% better, obviously, when you lose almost 200 pounds, at least 100, 150, 160 pounds, whatever that is. But at the same time, I would love perfection, right? I'd love to enjoy taking care of my body and eating healthy and getting a great amount of exercise as much as I enjoy eating food that may be more comfort food. I'd love to somehow elevate, as you would say, those habits. So that's something I'll work on.
Oh, I appreciate you saying it that way, that you have to manage that physical.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It feels like management. It doesn't feel like, it no longer feels like a battle.
Yeah.
But it's not, it used to feel like a war.
But it's not a joy. Like, but
it's not something I manage.
Well, and I just like that. I often take aim at this aspect in personal development of overcoming. You got to overcome the fear. You got to overcome that. And I find, at least for myself, that a lot of those things, like you talking about with food, I'll say that I overcame it, but I didn't do that by eradicating it. It's still there. Right. I just learned how to manage my dysfunction. In the first show that we recorded together, man, finances, I don't have joy in that. I found some peace and I'm able to manage it, but I don't enjoy that. My exercise, it's play. I mean, I love that. I've been a lifetime athlete, and man, get me out on the bike and the trails, and it's just absolute play, and it's helping me. You know, I love that. I wish finances was like that. It's not. Mm-hmm. I don't expect that it ever will be, but I'm managing, as you said, to get the result that I want.
Yeah. If you were having a conversation with a person, which person would you trust more? A person who says, I am not selfish, or a person who says, I manage my selfishness in order to be with people and be present? I trust the second person all day long. Right?
I don't believe the first one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that's how I think about with food. I manage my relationship with food. I love life. I love it. I don't want to go. I don't want to leave the planet. I love my wife. I love our home. Our baby's coming. I really love it. There's only one thing that I'm not going to miss, and it's food, relationship with food and managing food. I'm like, Jesus, take that from me, and I'll stay here forever.
Yeah. we talked about in show 861, we went through Business Made Simple. And in that, you obviously go through a lot of the attributes and you go through habits, but I'll just put that to you. I mean, where you're at in your business now, or what's helped you get there, throw out some, a top three, whatever of, for you, for Don Miller, your business habits that you are top tier for you. Like these are paramount habits. I mean, I'm sure you've got, 20 habits, 50 habits in your business, but man, these are what enable you to do what you uniquely do.
Yeah. It's wake up every day and know what three things you need to work on. You're going to wake up most days and have 27 things you've got to do. You can really, a human brain is really pretty much capable of only focusing on three priorities. So even in the planner page that I fill out, and you can get that planner page, by the way, free. It's at heroonamission.com. It's free. I don't ask for anything. But you'll find when you download that planner page, just download it, print off a bunch of copies, three hole punch it, put it in a binder. You got a planner for life.
Sweet.
There's three places to put your primary tasks. And then I literally call the rest of your tasks secondary, because the brain really has trouble knowing what's more important, you writing the book or you picking up your dry cleaning.
Yeah.
So unless you sit down and figure out the important things from the unimportant things, you'll spend your day doing unimportant things. You know, if you walk through my garage right now, Betsy and I moved in this house about 8 months ago. My garage is messy. And some people would say, you can tell a lot about a man by how messy his garage is. But you know what you can tell about me? You can tell that my garage is not the priority. Writing a book is a priority. So right now I've got a book. It's number 36 on Amazon. It's sold 30,000 copies in the last 5 days. And you know why? Because I didn't clean my garage.
Yeah.
That's why.
Good on you for that, man. My confirmation bias is loving you. Thank you.
Well, the other thing is, I think I just recorded something that about 50,000 men are going to play for their wives.
Totally. Dude, my barn, I have gotten to the place of I enjoy. I go in there. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. It's an absolute mess. And I turn around and walk away. And I love it.
There you go.
Now it's there when I get back. I know, but that's just my personal stick, and I'm great. To me, it shows work well done. You know.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm going to come back a little bit to our first conversation, and have us end here. When you look at people hearing your message, a business made simple, who want to be that value driven professional. I won't put a number to it, but again, if you had to list top habits, if you want to become a value-driven professional, here's the top habits that you would throw out to them.
Well, there's a couple days in the book that I focus on these things, because it's 60 daily entries, 60 different focuses. The two that I would pick out and say, if you only had two, the first is a growth mindset. Mm. In other words, don't believe that you're a fixed human being. You're actually transformed. So never say I'm bad at math. Say I choose to be bad at math because I haven't studied it yet. I could actually be quite great at math. That's a growth mindset. It's somebody who believes they can grow and change if they want to. The second is a strong bias toward action. Don't get lost in your thoughts and your daydreams. I do believe in meditation. I believe in planning, but we can't plan forever. We got to move. We have to make things happen. And you and I probably have a similar experience. I won't name any names, but I've met very, very successful people who I didn't think were very intelligent. Mm-hmm. They just weren't. I mean, you sit there and go, this person couldn't think their way out of a wet paper bag. Why were they successful? Why am I flying around in their private jet? Because they have a strong bias toward action. Mm-hmm. While the smart people are sitting around thinking about it, they're out there doing it. And those are the two characteristics. If you could only have two out of those 60, those are the two I'd say get these.
Don, I was really, I have a specific experience with that, really humbled by a guy who, of course, I wouldn't name, who I just did not think that highly of. I was almost, I did not have a kind mindset towards this guy. And yet he achieved some things. And it just, it forced me to look at it and go, oh my gosh, I am so self-aware that I discount myself. And I think a lot of self-aware, intelligent people are the first to discount themselves because they can see all, you know, can poke the holes and everything.
See all their flaws,
And here's this guy, he doesn't know any better than to know he can't do that. And so he just went and did it. And son of a gun. Right. So I appreciate that. Now you mentioned growth mindset, and I know you mentioned it in the book, but for people who heard that, the book Mindset by Carol Dweck, is she is the growth mindset, I think, avatar.
That's right. Yeah. I basically credit her in that entry and talk about how she defines a growth mindset.
Yeah. She's one person that I have never been able to find a contact for. I should ask you that.
You know, I actually did contact her and hired one of her facilitators to come spend a day with my company. We all took a day off and sat with one of her facilitators and learned about growth mindset. And it was really some of the best money I've ever spent.
I just wanted to get her on a show. And the only contact, I mean, I pride myself in my golden Rolodex and knowing people, and I just couldn't get through to her. I found some Stanford address or something and never got a response. So I may hit you up for that.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm such a fan of her book. Man, thank you for giving us a behind the scenes to what makes you tick. I obviously resonate with a lot of it, but thanks for being a normal human who does abnormal things, because I'm a grateful recipient of your art. So thanks, Don.
My pleasure. Honor to be with you.
Friends, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If you didn't catch episode 861, where I talked with Don about his latest book and platform, Business Made Simple, I highly encourage you to check it out. But I also, again, I'm a massive fan of all his work. His memoirs are intriguing, entertaining, life-changing. A million miles in 1,000 years will always be top shelf in my life, with Scary Close, his other book, right next to it, one of his other books. But just really encourage you to check them all out. A reminder, Don invited us to visit heroonamission.com, where he provides a life plan and daily planner course. Coming up in episode 864, I asked listeners, what foundational reasons keep you from completely falling down? What keeps you striving and from giving up? Great insight into what keeps people from just that, giving up. And you'll hear Tom Ziegler and I finding a primary thread of great interest. Till then, thank you as always for letting me walk with you as we inspire our true performance together.